Jesus, that you are indeed the Lord of all. We release the kids. May you know that Jesus loves you. Learn about him. Have fun. Thank you. Thanks. Oh, I don't know. Is it right? Is it so? Can't get me? I'll shout for the first bit. Oh, it sounds like there's something there. Yeah. So last week, we spent a lot more time talking about the essentials of God than I had planned. I think it was close to 50 minutes. I didn't actually find out until I went to update the website, and I thought they must have made some mistake. They must have recorded the entire service and put it on there. And then I forwarded through and I was like, oh no, that was all just me. I remember saying during my candidating time that I preached comfortably between 22 and 25 minutes. That's what I aim for. And I don't think I've done that yet. I think the quickest I've been is 27 minutes. So you're still waiting for me to make good on that promise. But I suppose we might have to relax that 22-minute expectation a little bit. But I do admit, last week was far too long. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for your grace. No one told me. No dirty looks. No one got up in defiance and left. You actually waited until I found out for myself. And I was like, so thank you for your grace and your kindness to me. A single sermon on the essential Jesus. The most important things about Jesus is an important exercise. I believe that followers of Jesus, ambassadors of Jesus we're called, are called to be able to speak about our faith in simple and personal ways. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. So be ready when you're expecting it, but also be ready when it's coming out of the blue. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Be ready. Be willing to offer the great gift of Jesus with those God places in your path. Sometimes it's a word, sometimes it's a gesture, sometimes it's a smile. Jesus taught me long ago, I always thought I had to bring someone to the Lord in every conversation, and then Jesus taught me, just smile at that guy. Just say Jesus loves you. And with that in mind, at different points during my message this morning, I've invited several people, they know who they are, don't worry, to share a faith story as an encouragement with us. And as a simple structure to this sermon, we're going to be focusing on the name of Jesus Christ. There are some 200 names and titles for Jesus found in the Bible. Names like, so I'm going to do the same thing I did last week, where I'm just going to read these names. Actually, Rachel got us off to a great start. Reading some of these names, so just receive these names, meditate on these names. They're names like Chief Cornerstone, Firstborn over all creation, Head of the Church, Head of this Church, Holy One, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, Son of God, Son of Man, Light of the World, Word of God, Word of Life, Alpha and Omega, Emmanuel, I am. Bread of life, deliverer, good shepherd, high priest, lamb of God, rock and savior. Each of these names relate to an aspect of Jesus' calling by God. They are names that reflect his nature, his position in the unity of God, and his work on earth. And of all these names, Jesus Christ is the one that we use most often. And that is likely because it holds together, most succinctly, the central ideas of what we want to say about our Lord. So we have this Jesus Christ, and it holds Jesus together, what we want to say about him. So first is Jesus. Jesus is the Lord's human name given to Mary by the angel Gabriel. In Matthew 1, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The given name, Jesus, speaks of his humanity, of his humanness, of his incarnation, that he became one of us in the flesh. He was given a popular Hebrew name and lived a human life. As a result, he is relatable in a radical way. Relatable like no other God that had ever been preached or taught about. At Christmas time, Christians participate in this beautiful ritual of remembering and reminding. We remind ourselves and teach our children that Jesus was born in a manger. Because that's so important, so essential to our view of God. That this God who is so big, so powerful, so terrifying really, in his otherness, in his separateness, is also Jesus. Jesus, who is a fragile human baby, born not to the powerful, but to humble, faithful parents. Luke 2, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Some of us have had that experience of wrapping your frail child in swaddling clothes, keeping them warm, keeping them safe, keeping them from punching themselves in the face and scratching themselves. We understand what that's like. And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Because there was no room for Jesus, the Lord of life. There was no room for him. He was born not in richly adorned splendor with the best medical care available, but because there was no room for him in the living quarters of the family home, likely because a number of elderly family members took the higher positions, the place. You've got three rooms in the house. Grandma definitely gets one. Your other grandma definitely gets the other one. And then the children are stuck downstairs in the domestic stable, where a manger or two would have been located to feed the animals. This was a less than sterile environment, to be sure. It may not have smelled too pretty. So Jesus' first earthly lesson to us, the first thing that he teaches us, occurs in the very manner of his birth, that we need to look closely and strip away our expectations if we're going to understand what God really cares about. This is God coming to earth, and he chooses a manger to be born into. What does God care about? Is it the same thing that you care about? Is it the same kinds of things that you're chasing that you've affixed your heart and your vision to? We treasure the given name of Jesus so much because it proclaims that God is relatable. He was born as we were born. He learned and grew as we do. He experienced trouble and temptation and the worst things that this world could offer. Betrayal, hatred, and death. But also, the best things. He was surprised by the faith of some. He was moved to tears by the love he saw in others. He was captivated by our human struggle against the forces of evil in the world. He came to us. He was born into our struggle and eventually became our champion in that fight. He faithfully fulfilled the calling that God had placed on him from the beginning, the very beginning. And in doing so, he broke the power of sin. He loosed the bonds that held us in darkness. And at this point, I'd like to call up our first faith story. So come on up, Ben.
Hello, I'm Ben. And I just have a few notes on what following Jesus has meant to me. So what following Jesus has meant to me has been, for one, getting through hard times and always knowing that there's someone there for me. So whether or not I'm just not feeling great and I need someone to be there for me, or like just needing something like to lift me up, I can always know that Jesus will be there for me and that I can trust him always, and I'll always know that there is someone there for me. And the other thing that really stands out for me is being in a church and having